The following programming is sponsored by Amendment 16 Limited. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 163 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania, and to relentlessly, vigorously, and methodically pursue correct solutions. But, as we like to say here, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem. And as you probably know by now, we've changed the show format, Pennsylvania Project, from our traditional setup. We're a half hour now, not the full hour we used to be. So today we're focusing on our traditional Them segment, where we host a guest to help showcase political, cultural, and or environmental issues facing Pennsylvania. Today our guest is all political. For an encore appearance, he's Matt Hackenberg, the Libertarian candidate for Pennsylvania governor. And despite the foreshortening of the Pennsylvania Project, one thing hasn't changed, and that's our long-established custom. We are still featuring a Pennsylvania Toastmaster to serve as narrator to read our live commercials and join in on discussions with our guests. It's a role that we have always called cohort. And today's cohort is making his fourth appearance on the Pennsylvania Project. He's that guy, distinguished Toastmaster Joshua Smith, a member of 9 Toastmasters clubs, an officer of 2 of them, area director, speech contest advisor, he's running for district leadership, and the guy has to have no life outside of Toastmasters. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project, Joshua.
I might have no life, but I have time for you, Ken.
You demand, sir. And you know, I wanted to talk about that because you and I have been having some sidebar discussions about you picking up some of the responsibilities from our former executive producer, Mark Bazzacco.
Yeah, I listened to Mark talk on your last full hour show, and he definitely had a great impact, not on you, but many of the people that you've started the show with. And that made me really, you know, that commitment is the same commitment I have as running for district director, too.
So, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, with Mark leaving, that's one of the reasons we cut back to a half an hour, because all of it fell upon me.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't keep up with everything like that.
But you know, the one thing that, you know, it always stays true is, you know, spring coming around, you know what crops up the most in the state?
Women?
No. Road cones.
Oh.
With all the construction projects and everything. Okay. I figure, hey, why not start a construction project here with the Pennsylvania Project?
That sounds good to me.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, I gotta get that infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the only issue is you're a little bit of a distance away.
Well, who says distance can't transverse all kinds of obstacles?
That is true, because I'm a Philly boy born and raised, and my wife is from upstate New York.
Wow.
And we were dating. It was a bit of traveling. And she also was in school in Pittsburgh, so I would drive out there all the time.
Well, how did you meet her then, if she was all the way up there?
Well, on a camping trip. We were at Watkins Glen State Park in the Finger Lakes region of New York, and it's a good way to meet women. We would stage softball games. And it's funny, that's a long story too, but my buddy picked her up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he dated her for a year. And then he dumped her for the girl that he wound up marrying. I moved in on her at that point, and I dumped the girl, and my brother wound up marrying the girl that I dumped.
Oh, wow.
So we all shifted over one.
Like, yeah.
It's a longer story than that. But,
yeah.
But we still camp, and our kids camp and everything like that.
No, that's fantastic.
Yes, I agree. You know, we should probably save this conversation for when we were doing tailgating.
Agreed.
Out in the parking lot after the show.
I do have more questions about that, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay. All right, since this is primary election season, we have with us one of the Libertarian Party statewide candidates for the upcoming election. And he was here last episode, and he's back again. He's none other than Matt Hackenberg, our Libertarian candidate for Pennsylvania governor this year. He came down from the Lehigh Valley. He left his dogs and chickens and goats. He's joining us here today. And he's also been a computer engineer in the aerospace industry. And we're going to talk more about his run for governor of Pennsylvania. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project, Matt.
Well, thank you for having me back after what happened last time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you didn't curse,
yeah.
You know, so we got away with it.
It was hard.
Now, you're a geek? What kind of geek are you?
I'm a computer nerd.
How so? Because I'm an IT guy forever.
So I went to college for computer engineering. Computer engineering is like the line between software and hardware.
Uh-huh.
So I design PC boards and write the software that runs on them. And
Uh-huh.
Make little blinky lights and things like that.
Uh-huh. I used to do that for a while. I did assembler language coding. Yeah, on the first 16-bit processor, the TI-9900.
Oh, very nice.
And for coding, I actually had to sit there with clips, you know, alligator clips to connect to the memory to put stuff in and stuff.
Right, right.
I thought it would have been punching cards that you would have used.
I used that too. And you know, at our wedding, they instead of throwing rice, they threw the computer card punches.
I love it.
I still have a couple gallons of it at home too. So don't get me going. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. I want to talk about governor.
Yeah.
You got to get on the ballot.
Yep.
Now, when I ran for governor in 2002, I had to collect 21,000 signatures.
Holy moly.
I had to run the petition drive because the state party leadership was dead set against running anybody for governor, and they didn't like me either.
Right.
Seems to happen a couple times every now and again, you know? Yeah. But it was the most difficult thing that I ever did. We wound up turning in 32,500 signatures on a requirement of 21,000, and it got me on the ballot.
Excellent.
So what about you? How are you getting on? How many you need?
Well,
what's the plan?
My understanding is I need 5,000. Which is substantially less.
You're welcome. I was plaintiff on that case, knocked it down to 5,000.
Yes, excellent. I appreciate it.
You better.
The Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania has improved quite a bit since then. We're now quite committed to running candidates.
I know. We've got like 50, 60.
Yeah, over 50 now.
Yeah.
And it's still trickling in.
Uh-huh.
And every time... You know, we have all these down ballot candidates, you know, so House Rep, you know, I'm sorry, State Rep, State Senate, et cetera. You know, when they collect petitions or signatures for their petitions, they also, those signatures get also applied to me and to Tim McMaster, Eric, and so on, and the entire up ballot. So it's for me, it's not that bad because we have a whole system, we have a whole apparatus that's been growing and developing beautifully. Very professional. The organization's becoming a very professional system. And the amount of impressive people has just blown me away. Just blown me away.
I agree.
And people stepping up and taking charge and running this as a serious political party is just very, very reassuring. It's the most optimistic thing. It's the most, the biggest white pill I've seen in a long time.
Uh-huh. And I would agree. I've been in the party since the early 90s. And there have been waves of what I call negatarians.
Yeah.
And the latest wave has finally gone past.
Right.
And in its wake, it's always like this. The party harmony, everybody's friendly, everybody gets stuff done.
Yep.
So this is, you're lucky. You're in the afterglow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like we just won World War II, and now we're going into the 50s.
Let's try not to destroy the empire before it gets built then.
I agree. Man, oh, man. So you need 5,000 signatures? You should really get...
We're aiming for 10,000.
10,000, yeah, because they challenge us.
Right, right. We're going to verify each signature and check against the voter database, the SURE database. So hopefully it'll reduce the probability of getting them tossed out. But still, the more the merrier. The biggest push right now is going to be on primary day. We're trying to get as many people as we can to go out to different polls and primary polling and ask for people to sign to ballots, the ballot petitions.
Yep.
And in that, you know, if we can get enough volunteers to do it that day, we can clear off most, if not all, of our required signatures.
Uh-huh. When I ran for governor in 2002, we followed that petitioning at the polling places. We pulled in over 11,000 signatures in one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I hold out a lot of hope that that's going to work for you. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be there.
Why not?
I'm going to be in New Orleans. My wife and I are celebrating our 45th anniversary.
Oh.
We're taking Amtrak down overnight.
Excellent.
Yeah. We have a balcony room on Bourbon Street.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess a wedding anniversary is maybe more important.
Maybe. Yeah, I know. If I want to make it my 46th anniversary, it's enough that I didn't run for governor.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things we all need to remember, priorities in life, and you know, family is...
And I've always said that, family, job, politics, in that order. You know, it doesn't matter if you get rid of a tax increase, if you lost your job, and it doesn't matter if you've gotten school choice, if your wife leaves you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I've long not considered politics something I ever want to be interested in or want to do until very recently.
Mm-hmm.
And now I wonder if that calculation can be changed because... the politics thing is might be a tool of protection against life or death type of thing. It's like, I'm doing this for my children.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I'm doing this as a sense of, almost like a sense of providing, in that I want to make sure that my child can grow up to have some sort of future where food will be readily available.
You know, I'm laughing, but it's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's true. I mean, look how they mismanaged the last pandemic.
Right, and there's more to come. Don't worry, guys. There's more.
Uh-huh.
They're drunk on that power.
I know. You know, it's funny. I want to ask you about all sorts of different issues, but I already know what the answer is, because you're a libertarian. Right?
Oh, yes, true.
Always comes back to your life, your way, as long as you respect the rights and property of others.
Yeah. Self-ownership.
Yep. But you know, I'm going to have to take a break there. I'm your caster, Ken Krawchuk. You're listening to episode 163 of the Pennsylvania Project. We'll be right back after this information with more from Matt Hackenberg, libertarian candidate for Pennsylvania governor.
Here's an interesting question. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time that we change these answers to yes, yes, and yes. We here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions. So we've authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our state government works, head over to our website, PennsylvaniaProject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of, let alone read, the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one votes anymore. You've been a registered libertarian for years, voted for libertarians even longer, and lived by libertarian principles all your life. Now it's time to take the next step and become a dues-paying member of the Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania. Keep abreast of the march towards liberty in Pennsylvania. Take an active role in making it happen. Maybe even consider running for a local political office yourself. It all starts with becoming a dues-paying member of the Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania. It's easy, fast, and only $25 a year, $15 for students. So visit lppa.org to sign up today. That's lppa.org. Do it today. A freer future is waiting.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and we are back with episode 163 of the Pennsylvania Project, and our guest, Matt Hackenberg, the Libertarian Party candidate for governor of Pennsylvania. Out on your website, sir.
Yes.
I like the layout there.
Oh, thank you.
I could use a lot more issues out there. I like the way you have them organized. Lifestyles, wallet, children, defense, homes, health, guard, and state. And last episode, we talked about health and guard and children and education to an extent. But what do you mean when you say lifestyles? That's a loaded question these days. You already mentioned critical race theory.
Yeah, I mean, lifestyles is you know, you should live your life how you want to live it. And right now we're living in a situation where lifestyle has been weaponized, politically weaponized.
Huh. Interesting. I hadn't thought of it in those terms.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you see a lot of this this hand-wringing over whatever, you know, identity group, LGBT, whatever. Racial groups, a lot of it is farcical. It's virtue signaling. It's basically leveraging other people's identities for, you know, their own political gain.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that's just you know, distasteful. And I'd rather not you know, delve into micromanaging people's lives in that, uh-huh, that regard, and living off of, feeding off of that that virtuous energy. Sense.
It's true. They're deliberately dividing people.
Yes.
Divide and conquer, yes. Making up enemies where they just don't exist.
That's one of the most dangerous things we can do is to attack the state, is to fight for greater unity. Realize we're all the same, right? It's not white versus black. It's not R versus D, right? It's not gay versus straight. It's us versus the ruling elite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that they keep us, they try to keep hidden from us. Keep us unaware of.
And you know, you mentioned that last episode too, and that's something I have to disagree with you to some extent, because when I first got involved in politics, I was expecting threatening phone calls, slash tires, things like that.
Yeah.
But I found that most politicians actually care very deeply for the people that they serve.
I'm sure.
They're dead wrong about what needs to be done, but I was happy to find out their hearts were in the right place.
So when I say the ruling class or ruling elite, I don't mean necessarily politicians or bureaucrats. I mean the people at the top, the people with the power, the people who decide who's on what committees, the people who control and actually which bills get to the floor, which bills get passed.
That's true. And Pennsylvania is infamous for that kind of behind the scenes dealing.
Right. And I mean, I grew up in New Jersey, which is like, whew.
Worse. I call it the police state.
And it is a police state. I don't.
But why do they have cannabis and we don't, huh?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's, they give you your, what is it? Brave New World. I'm pulling a blank. The SOMA, right? So they give you your SOMA to keep you happy while they oppress you and it's so most people think of like the 1984 type post-apocalyptic type totalitarian nightmare. But there's also the Brave New World, right, where it's like free sex and drugs and everything is wonderful and they keep everyone happy.
That's 60s.
Right.
I was there.
And I think we're getting some little combination of the two.
I'm looking at the clock. I have to redo the half hour layout. I mean, the two commercial breaks, that's just too much.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm going to combine it down to one because I'm your caster, Ken Krawczuk, and you're listening to episode 163 of the Pennsylvania Project. We are going to be right back after another commercial break. They are shorter, though, than they were before. But we're going to have more with Matt Hackenberg, our Libertarian Party candidate for Pennsylvania governor.
Hey, distinguished Toastmaster Joshua Smith here, cohort on the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader communicates effectively. If not, or even if they do, you might want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Hey, look at me. I joined Toastmasters and now I'm on the radio. So turn your life around like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome. And be sure to mention you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project radio show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org. The following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, Josh, how's it going?
Meh, could be better.
Why? What's the matter?
I just found a great job, but I can't take it.
Why not?
They want me to go as a 1099 contractor.
So?
So, what about all the taxes? Federal taxes, state taxes, this tax, that tax. I have better things to do than figuring out the tax laws and filling out all these forms. I'm a libertarian, remember?
Then what you need is Amendment 16.
Hey, it's the damn 16th Amendment that got me in this predicament in the first place.
No. Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them, and when your client pays them, they pay you, minus all required state and federal taxes. It's that easy.
And they take care of all the taxes? All the forms?
Yep. One call does it all. And they can pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Sounds perfect. Where do I find them?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com, with 16 spelled out. That's amendment, SIXTEEN.com. One call does it all. Hey, Ken Krawczuk here, and we are back with episode 163 of the Pennsylvania Project. And today's guest, who hasn't run out the door, Matt Hackenberg, Libertarian Party candidate for governor of Pennsylvania.
I just want to say the door is locked, so that's why.
No. That's miraculous, because I don't see a lock on the door, but
it's barred. Yeah,
it must be. Yeah.
The fire marshal probably get upset about that.
Yeah, so we had to do to keep your guests in here, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is going to be our last segment of the show. I've been driving the conversation in directions I wanted to see. Is there something that you really wanted to, something about the election coming up or one of the issues or something?
Well, so one, like I said, before the primary day and the need for volunteers. Mm-hmm. So, the LPPA, lppa.org, big, if you're interested in liberty at all and you want more liberty, you want to do something, you feel that you need to do something, now's the time to join the LPPA.
Yep.
It's unbelievably exciting. You know, I came up in the Ron Paul run in 08 and 12, and that energy, that excitement is what we feel now.
Yes. Right?
And it is unbelievable. And if you're feeling down, you're feeling like overwhelmed with the state of the world today, and you want some sense of hope, you want some sense of community, you want to be interacting with other libertarians and feel like you actually can work towards it, some goals, towards some end, join the LPPA, get involved. We need all the help we can get, and we actually can make some change here.
Matt, I have to ask, because you know some people are afraid to even identify or even associate with a party nowadays. It's just that political. I mean, I think even the last few years you've kind of seen that. So for me, as somebody that you know has taken great interest in all kinds of different views, sell me on the fact that I should join the party to help you and other of the candidates to be elected. What is it that I would gain from it?
So from my perspective, a year and a half ago, I would call myself a small L libertarian. I never member of the party. I wanted nothing to do with it. So the party is a joke. But the times have changed. And it's the level of professionalism, the level of excellence, the amount of incredibly impressive people that are now in the party and working to do change and enact change is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And there's also this debate, which is, I think, a silly debate about this, whether you want to be the Libertarian Party or you want to go the more agorist route. You want to go and do your own thing in the woods and or do develop your own communities like Freedom Cells type deal.
Yeah. Gulch.
Right. But the thing is that you don't need to pick one or the other, right? I've met some of the greatest people I know. Some people have quickly grown to be some of my closest friends. You know, the people that I want to associate with in, making your own Gulch. are the people that are in the party now. And it's you know, where else are you going to meet these people? Where else are you going to make these connections? And it's truly, even if you do nothing like politically in the party, you know, even if you have no interest in running, even if you don't even want to bother with any actually helping out, which is a real bummer, but just the ability to go and meet people, go to social events and kind of interact and kind of feel like you're with your people. And it's community. It's a highly valuable thing we need right now.
And I tell people too, even in Toastmasters, you know, it's about practicing your craft. So we can do so much in an experimental learning environment like our clubs, but being able to do it in like a libertarian party setting, I think that really creates some of that vibrancy. So I think that's where we need to put more of that rubber on the road, say it figuratively.
And also sort of towards that end is there's a lot of thinking and planning and strategizing right now, a lot of thought like that I've never been exposed to before. I mean, I'm well-versed in all the libertarian philosophy and all these things. And now we're like talking like, how do we get this into function? How do we actually apply this? And it's what the actual strategy and little details is very interesting. If people like puzzles, you like games, you know, you like solving problems, it's like just super entertaining.
You sound like a computer guy.
I am a computer guy.
I know. You sound like a libertarian. You know, you should read my novel, Atlas Snubbed, because it puts together an entire working society based upon your life, your way, as long as you respect others. Did you read Atlas Shrugged?
I did. It's a lengthy tome.
It is, and this is a sequel to it. It's a parody sequel, but it picks up exactly at the end of Atlas Shrugged, and Eddie Willers forms the Libertarian Society because he's an honest guy, right? We libertarians are honest guys, at least some of us anyway.
Yeah.
No comment there. Speaking of reading, we talked about the Pennsylvania Constitution, and have you signed our petition yet?
I have not, but I don't know why I haven't. So
I don't know why I haven't either.
We need to get on that.
Uh-huh. I won't ask you if you've read the Constitution, I assume.
I have not read the PA Constitution.
Whoa. So you're going to take a job? You don't know what the job entails?
Well, I get a bridge. I will have to read the whole thing. That's.
Do you know what? I have a copy with me. I'll leave it with you.
Oh, yeah, please.
Ken
yeah.
signed it himself. I saw
excellent,
him do it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah, it adds some value to it.
It takes the value away from it. I don't know.
You know, to be honest, I mean, I've grown very disenfranchised with the state and the federal constitution.
Certainly the federal constitution.
It's been largely dismissed and largely ignored. And the federal constitution is especially sad because it's in some ways it's a distraction, right? People are like, well, I have the right to own firearms. And it's like, no, you don't. No, you don't. Right? Just because it says it on the piece of paper, you know, that right has been taken from you.
Yep.
And unless you demand it back, you're not going to get it back.
Yep. Yep. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
It's just there's so many things about the federal constitutions being ignored. I was talking to one of the candidates, I won't mention who, for Congress, and I asked, she was like, oh, drug warrior, we got to end these drugs and everything. I said, well, wait a minute. If it took a constitutional amendment to ban alcohol, shouldn't it take one to ban fentanyl or to ban heroin?
Right.
And she started talking about something else. Wait. I'm looking for a yes or no question here. She finally says, yes. Yeah.
Well, and further, like, we've been doing this for how many decades now? And what, the opioid death rate has just gone up? So clearly...
Yeah, don't get me started about that. You're familiar with Portugal.
They're, oh, yes, yeah.
Because they reduced the opioid deaths by 85%.
Yeah.
And they did it by ending their insane war on drugs.
Right, which makes sense from a purely economic standpoint, a human action standpoint. Right?
Yeah, and it's cheaper too.
Right, right.
It saves more lives.
And when you have a black market for these drugs, when you can then import it from China, a highly concentrated form from China, made in labs in China, that's obviously going to be what everyone's going to do because that makes more sense when it's prohibited, it's restricted.
That's true, and it feeds organized crime.
And what do you do to treat it? Instead of treating it in our communities and our churches, we treat it by throwing people in cages.
Yes, that's exactly the way I put it too. You sound like a libertarian. But you know, time goes by way, way, way too quickly. I should go back to an hour-long format, I'm telling you.
You should.
But I always like to open up the microphone for our guests for, you know, take 30 seconds or so and talk about anything you damn well please.
So I want to share the joys of backyard chickens. I highly recommend
setting the bar high here.
Yeah,
dude.
No, now's the time. This is the season to go get chickens. You need to get them now so they can grow up and be more hardy for the cold in the winter time. And we're in this time of global economic peril where food scarcity might become a real issue in the United States.
Yeah,
chickens, they can go, they eat bugs and they turn them into eggs. They pop out an egg every day.
Wow.
So it's a very easy piece of life, livestock to own that anyone can own in very little space. I recommend people get them.
It's true. And even in Abington, it's legal to have them in your backyard.
Yeah. And, you know, you shouldn't need government permission to have basic food production.
I agree with that. And we know which came first now, the chicken, not the egg.
Who can tell?
Who can tell? On that note, that's going to have to wrap it up for episode 163 of the Pennsylvania Project. My thanks once again to our chicken guest, Matt Hackenberg, Libertarian Party candidate for Pennsylvania governor. Hey, what do you think about our libertarian candidate here? We're teaching the Pennsylvania Constitution or anything Pennsylvania related. If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited and produced live at the studios of WWDB Radio. Our webmaster, Stephen Worley, featured Toastmaster cohort and narrator, distinguished Toastmaster Joshua Smith, official bartender Tom Kehoe, keyboard wizard Joe the Pag, radio producer is Wes Wagner, and me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, even if you go 20 seconds over.